Good morning. Welcome to Suicide Pact.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
Have you noticed that right when we decide, like, okay, we're going to sleep for 10 more minutes, that's when, like, a family of pterodactyls lands on the fire escape and starts screaming, and then the dog clumps in, like,
yeah. She's like a toddler.
Somebody's in the hallway just screaming.
Yeah, the dog will wander in, like, pretending that she's being quiet, but very fucking loud, and just breathe next to your face, like...
Yeah, it is eerie.
Just wondering if you're awake yet.
Yeah.
Just checking.
And then you get up, and she goes back to sleep.
She doesn't even want anything from us. She just needs us to be awake.
Right.
For her
anxiety.
She
likes everybody to be together in the same room. It's very important to her. It's the only way she can relax.
I'll take her out in the morning while you're still asleep, and she'll do everything she needs to do, come back, and sit on the edge of the couch and crane her neck into the bedroom and just stare at you until you get
up. Feel it. She stares daggers into you.
She doesn't blink. She just waits.
Yeah. And she does it more to you if I'm gone, because I'm the alpha.
Oh,
and I
yeah?
won't put up with it.
Excuse
she knows
me?
That. But when I leave, she's
wait,
like, all right.
Hang on. What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, she doesn't do it to me, really.
What do you
Because I'm the alpha.
What do you mean she doesn't do it to you? So once you're up, she doesn't care anymore? Is that what you're saying?
No. Yeah, once if I'm gone, if I go to work or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She asserts her dominance over the submissives in the family.
Oh, my God.
In the pack.
I'm the alpha.
You are not the alpha. That is hilarious to me. That is a good... This is a comedy show.
I'm the alpha.
No.
Here, I'm the boss. I make the rules.
And you just look at her. She rolled her eyes at
she
you.
She just woke up and looked at me like, yeah, right.
Do you remember what? Go ahead.
No, I didn't.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Remember last night when we got home from the comedy show and there was some guy
yes.
in one of the apartments? What was he singing?
And she will be loved on his acoustic guitar.
At like some party or something?
Yeah.
Just like... Earnestly, do you film that, right?
I did, yeah.
Maybe we can put that
okay,
up somewhere.
I hope you can hear it. It's 2020, and these are all very young people who live in this building.
Yeah,
they're all
I
like college
them.
Kids. I know they have. I don't like young people having fun. It makes me feel bad.
I don't like young people having fun at in a very nice. I mean, comparatively, a very nice apartment in a cool neighborhood in New York. It's like, God damn it, I'd work my whole life to get
yeah.
to this point, and here you are.
Your parents pay for
21.
This.
21.
Yeah, and also, like, what a waste of time. They're all drinking, like, Mike's Hard Lemonades and singing Maroon 5. Like, it's 2007.
Just so, like, in that voice that you just giving it your
that
all, you know?
That guy at a party trying to fuck everything that
yeah,
moves.
Yeah, you are a cliche, man. How do you not see it? How
oh
do you not
God.
Catch yourself in the reflection of a, you know...
Woke up this morning in the pouring rain, and she will be loved.
Come on, everybody.
I couldn't, like, what if he was alone? I didn't hear anybody else with
him. Oh, I heard a ton of people.
These walls are paper thin. They're probably like, our neighbors are mean.
That's true. Don't fuck with
we
me.
We are really mean.
Don't fuck with us unless you're going to invite us to your party.
Yeah, honestly, it's just bitterness because we weren't invited.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so old lately because everyone is 19 in this building. What is it about? Because it's early for us right now. Waking up in the morning, what does sleeping do to you to make you look so fucking bad in the morning?
I don't know.
I have
eye bags. Stop studying yourself as soon as you wake up.
Well, I don't know. It's just jarring. I don't
just
even recognize myself.
Just go to bed in
a
full face
myself.
Of makeup.
Okay. Now I get
acne. That's what
acne.
I do. We just cover just... Cake on more makeup.
They say.
Remember in like high school when girls were just breaking out with acne and they're just like, this will fix it. And they
yeah.
take one of those like when you do like spackle, like those
yes.
and flat you can... tools, whatever they're called, and just like mush makeup on. Make sure that it's the wrong color.
Thick
it's got to be bright orange.
Orange.
Yeah. And it comes in like a tub, I assume.
Yeah.
And you just slather it on. And now your face just looks like a... bright orange topographical map of
so
the Andes.
It's so bad. I remember like experimenting with makeup. It takes so long to figure that shit out. You're just like, you just have to you have no guidance unless you have an older sister, which I did, but I don't know, she left me to the wolves. So I remember putting on makeup. It was like thick foundation, just like that, but it was like absolutely the wrong color, so I looked like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying,
I was a ghost for Halloween. And I remember
cuts off right at the neck
meeting my parents out somewhere. I was with my friend and we had done our makeup, and my dad like publicly went, "What did you do to your face?" And I remember my mom going,
"Hell yeah, Frank.
Frank, stop. No." Like, she's like, clearly she tried to do her makeup. Just let it go.
Don't. It's just loud enough for you to hear. Don't. We all know she looks like shit. Frank, it's a rite of passage.
You just have to. And I guess it's so strange that you could do that to your face and look in the mirror and go, yep, this looks
nailed
right.
It.
Got it.
Is it because you're studying your face for so long? Like, you're, it takes so long to put it on. You don't see, like, if you just see you without makeup and then with makeup back to back, you're like, ah!
Yeah.
But if it's a slow progression, you don't notice it, you know?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Like getting fat. Like, one day you're like, oh, shit, I'm fat.
Well, this
Everybody's
is,
like, yeah.
This conversation scares the shit out of me because I will... I obviously stare at my face for way too long, and then I'll see myself in a photograph and I go, if this is how everyone sees me, if this is what I look like in real life, I gotta just go to the woods.
Yeah, everybody feels that way. That's how photos work, you know?
But then, you know, then you just go, but that's what I really look like.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not true, because you're when you're interacting with people, you're seeing them from all kinds of angles and lights and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not the same experience. You can never... Unless maybe, like, if you're watching footage of yourself, video, where somebody's getting you from all kinds of angles and stuff, that's a close approximation.
Yeah.
You're never going to experience what it's like to look at yourself as another person.
Yeah. I hope it's good. I hope it's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Some angles I've glimpsed, and it hurts my soul. But who cares? Do you remember Whitney Cummings talking on Joe Rogan saying that people would never recognize, scientists say, if you saw yourself from the angle that everyone else sees you, you would never recognize yourself. You would not recognize yourself. And Joe Rogan goes, I mean, we're comedians. We've been on television.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
That interview is just like one statement after another said with such like gusto, yeah, where you're just like, what the fuck?
That's a problem with podcasts. If he hadn't checked her, I would have been like, whoa. That's
really?
I don't know.
You
I
fucking don't- idiot.
I don't know.
There was this theory in one of those movies, like Zeitgeist or something, this theory,
oh boy,
that like...
one of my favorites.
When, I want to say in Africa, the first time Africans saw ships, they couldn't see them because they had no... there's no like point of reference for them. So the ships were invisible to them because they didn't know what a ship was.
I don't understand that.
Same, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's the same type of thing. That's like what she was trying to say.
Yeah.
The thing with Whitney Cummings and a lot of women is it's just like constant obsessing over what they fucking look like. And like, especially somebody like her, which I can talk shit about her because she stole the name of my comedy show and named her podcast that. But it's like...
It's a pretty common phrase.
If you were just... Why don't you go fuck yourself? When you, if you were just to be like, hey, it's me, Whitney Cummings, I'm just a regular fucking bitch, and here's my comedy, everybody would be like, oh, she's a, you know, she's a pretty girl or whatever. Nobody would think about it. But she's
a pretty frozen face.
Every interview she does, she's just like, and my nose is slightly turns to the left. And anyway, I've been obsessing over my age lately. And then all of a sudden you find yourself just like squinting at her pores and like breaking her down. And it's like, I don't do this for other people, but you never shut the fuck up about the way you look. So you're drawing attention to everything. You're completely consumed by your, you know,
your
appearance. And you're not doing yourself any favors by, you know, never shutting up about it.
100%. As soon as people start talking obsessively about the way they look, you begin to scrutinize them. That's
you
like,
also associate them with their flaws.
Yeah.
You know, you start to go like, oh, okay, well, I can see that.
Yeah.
If you're going to point it out, yeah, now that you mention it,
yeah,
your one nostril is bigger than the other one. Now that's all I think about when I see you. Congratulations,
oh,
you did
God.
It.
Yeah.
Anyway, the president's dead.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. I was going to say one more thing about Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, go ahead.
She, on that same podcast, was with Annie Letterman, and she's also not only insecure about just the way she looks in general, she's very insecure about aging. And she told Annie, like, well, you're so young, you're such a baby, you wouldn't get it. And she goes, Whitney, we're the same age.
Yeah.
You're just more successful than I am. And so you think you're older. And
right.
She's like, she had nothing to say to that. She was like, oh, sorry. She's like, you've just been around longer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
But also, that's, you know, what that really is Whitney Cummings, like, studying every Instagram post by Annie Letterman and being like, oh my God, she has, she's attractive in all the ways that I imagine myself to be unattractive.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just in their heads and ruminating on nonsense until you just fucking die, you know? You just seize up and fucking pass away.
I do think it's a tough thing. Like, I'm guilty of it too, but like you said, it's really important to rise above that.
Well, results of that thinking are worse than just like having a slight flaw,
yeah.
You know? The idea, the concept of ruminating on it and thinking about it all the time, that's going to create all kinds of new problems for yourself.
Yeah.
So,
and at the end of the day, you're just obsessing over yourself.
Right. It's a form of narcissism, for sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, guys, embrace how ugly you are. Just learn to love your butt face so that we don't have to hear about it.
Well, think about all the people. I know you're joking, but think about all the people who kind of embrace just being weird. Like, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't work out. He's just slowly getting more weird looking, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys like that. Like,
if Whitney Cummings were on the podcast, I know she'd say that only men can get away
sure.
with that, and women have to be sexy little babies until they die.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true.
There are certain exceptions, like offbeat looking people, like Kristen Schaal, I think, can...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's funny?
Well, Kristen Schaal is a whole other thing. This is a weird podcast.
I know. Just
breaking down people's appearance.
I know. This is exactly what we were railing against. And
Kristen Schaal had severe like jaw problems, right?
Oh,
so
really?
Her whole jaw was like, I think she looked like a Simpsons character when she was a little kid.
Okay.
So she had to get like countless jaw surgeries, if I'm remembering this interview I heard with her correctly,
yeah,
to reset her face. So she had like actual medical procedures to like make her look like a person.
Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah.
Well, they did.
She's not just like quirky.
Yeah.
She is like undergone surgery.
Congrats to her. She did it. And also, she's a fantastic comedian, which is what we should be focusing on.
Right.
Patriarchy.
I'm one of these guys that thinks that we should start sexualizing men more. You know what I mean? Not
what
looking at
mean?
Everybody based on talent and compassion or whatever. I think we should just start taking all the pressure we put on women and putting it onto men.
Yeah, that's always the answer. Whatever bad thing is happening to one quote-unquote oppressed group, let's just do it to the other group, and then the world will know peace.
Right.
I have noticed that the whole... have you ever seen those like clickbait articles that were like, you wouldn't believe what this hot woman from the 60s looks like now?
Yeah, she looks like shit.
Hint, it's dirt. She looks like shit.
Click through 50 pages of ads and we'll show you.
Yeah.
She just looks a little older. She has crow's feet.
Yeah, they're like, God! Send her to hell.
It's called I Wouldn't Fucker. It's like the New York Times is getting
Let's start
intense.
Something called iwouldntfucker.com. I've noticed that it does
just like photos of women. Gross.
Yuck. It doesn't happen. This shit doesn't happen to people who were never hot to begin with. You know, if somebody was always kind of ugly, people think they aged well, but really it's just that nobody ever wanted to fuck them. You know, like, I think people are probably like, ooh, Rachel Dratch looks great for 50 or like Steve Buscemi or something. It's just, when people are like perfect looking at 22, by 28, people are like, uh-oh, what happened? What happened to you? Like, gravity
happened.
I had
one donut.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about our dead president?
Okay, yeah, our dead president. I will say...
What?
Okay, so if you've been living under a rock, folks, the president has malaria. Everyone rejoicing when he got coronavirus. What I didn't feel... I didn't share in their joy.
I, you know, I'm not above being like, yeah, fuck him, let him die or whatever. Yeah. I just think, you know what I have an aversion to is it's just hack stuff.
Yeah.
When you get on Twitter and everybody's saying the same thing, immediately I roll my eyes. I'm not like precious about people getting ill.
Yeah, guys, the sanctity of human life.
Right, blah, right. Blah, blah, yeah, it's not that. It's just like, oh God, here we go. We're going to see like a bunch of memes with like wrestlers and one's labeled Trump and then the guy sneaking up behind with a chair and that says coronavirus.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is a professional comedian tweeting this out. Good for you.
Yeah. My first thought though was just like, is this good? Like for the country? Should we be celebrating or is this just going to cause more misery?
I think people, right. A few things. I think people see, the people that are really celebrating see Trump as like this all powerful evil force. And I think you and I have grown to see the whole system is broken. So mm-hmm. if he's gone, it's not like, hooray, yeah. fixed. Everything's good to go.
Yeah, you just lanced a boil, but you still have cancer.
Yeah. I guess it's a good thing if he gets knocked out. But at the same time, it's like, wouldn't you have liked to see this happen before he did all the damage to begin with like, you know, gloating about not wearing a mask and you know not taking things seriously. Like that would have been a good time to die. He's probably getting voted out anyway, and here he is just like making things more complicated and scary.
Exactly. Yeah, all the damage is done. That's a good point. We're at the fucking 11th hour here.
Yeah,
and now it's just everyone's tense and it's gonna fuck up the election even more. Who could
It's just
going to
be confusion and chaos.
Like, what happens if he doesn't die, but he's on a ventilator come November 3rd, and he's just, like, right. in limbo? What do we
what
do?
What do the bylaws say yeah. about that? And what kind of crazy executive orders is he going to start signing yeah. from his deathbed just for fun or whatever?
Rosie O'Donnell gets executed. Yeah,
beheaded. Under, like, the Lincoln Monument. And then the thing that makes me feel unsettled is it's like, and I know this is obvious and maybe I sound like an idiot, but it really affirms the fact that anybody can get it, you know? And yeah. we all already knew that, but the president of the United States, whether or not it's Trump, just the fact, like you think that somewhere there's like some secret vial of shit that he's getting injected with every time he goes somewhere
yeah.
or you know you'd like to think that everybody is a little bit more advanced than they are or our society is a little bit more advanced medically and shit and the elites get things that will eventually trickle down to us or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. I always assume that like Joe Biden and Trump and even Bernie and stuff are on this cocktail of drugs that kind of make them impervious to any harm, and we're learning that like, no, you could just step outside, catch this shit, and fucking die no matter what.
It
you
is
know?
So scary. It reminds me of the concept that like a lot of like poor white people just assume that they're not yet millionaires. Like it
yes.
will happen to me. So we have like this conspiracy theory brain that like all the elites get this special treatment, and we almost want that to be true because at least the possibility exists
right.
that you could be invincible.
Yes, exactly.
But no, we're actually all on a much more level playing field as humans than we...
I mean, maybe it'll shock everybody into... I mean, it won't. I don't even know why I started this sentence, but I was going to say maybe it'll shock everybody into being more careful and like
yeah,
getting rid of indoor dining and stuff and just being like, look, literally anybody can catch this shit.
We were walking around Williamsburg last night and there was a club open. People were
yeah,
like, can you imagine being like, it's been too long since I've been to the club.
Yeah, I got to get to the club.
Yeah, and there's like, they're only allowed to have 15 people in there. It's great. I mean, I know we went to a comedy show, but everyone got temperature checked. You had to sign a waiver, basically signing your life away saying you haven't. I honestly, frankly, did not read it, but I think it said, I promise I don't have coronavirus.
It's so long. I didn't sign shit. I would really? Never. I was like, I need to get my lawyer involved. No, I mean, I was producing the comedy show, so I guess they assumed that.
But it was outdoors.
I was fine.
People had masks. They set up these pods so that people together, for up to four people, could sit together. But other than that, everyone was distant. It yeah. was fine.
But like, even that, yeah, you feel.
Even then, you're like, this isn't completely safe. And then you see people at a club, and you're like, you really have just cognitively dissonanced so much
yeah.
that you're like, well, everyone else gets coronavirus.
I think
but
we're all very, very guilty of that. And that's yes. why the whole Trump thing really kicked me in the dick. Like, oh, shit. It's just another reminder. Anytime anybody yeah. like famous or somebody you know gets it,
yeah,
it just reminds you once again, anybody can get it. You know,
yes.
I'm still going to work. We're doing comedy shows and stuff. We're doing our best, but
yeah,
it just hits, the fear hits you.
There was a while where I was like, do I even know anyone personally
right.
who had it?
And people will say that shit to you too. Like,
yeah.
do you know anybody? You don't, barely anybody dies of it. And then the next week you're like, yeah, but if you catch it, your heart doesn't work for the rest of your life or, you know.
I think that, The one thing that reassures me about Trump is, like, sure, anyone can get it, obviously. Like, we did know that deep down. But he was absolutely pretending like it wasn't real. Like, he was going to events, shaking hands with people, not wearing a mask, just,
yeah.
like, totally pretending like it wasn't a thing. Going to rallies.
You know, it's so... the world is just chaos right now. Because you do hear about that stuff, and you watch him in, like, airport hangars, wherever the fuck he's doing these giant rallies, and you
yeah.
see everybody on top of each other, and he's, you know, going off, and you do think to yourself, man, if he got it, that would be the great irony. Fuck him. And then he does get it, and you just feel nothing.
I feel absolutely nothing. Yeah. Yeah. All these
he does
people...
deserve it. He deserves to get it.
Yeah.
And his whole vibe of, like, kind of dog whistling to the QAnon people, like, do you need a mask? Don't you? Who knows? Because he knows his base. That's what I keep thinking about, like, the debate and shit. Everybody's like, oh my God, is he a white supremacist? Is he a racist and shit? And it's like, maybe, but I don't even know. That's not the right question to ask. It's like, what is he doing? He's appealing to his base. He knows who his base is.
Mm-hmm.
He knows about QAnon. He knows about the Proud Boys. He knows about all these people. And he knows that, like, without them, he probably won't win. So he's going to do whatever it takes. And
he's
that's been
the
whole
line,
time.
Yeah.
The whole time he's been getting the information about coronavirus. He knows how horrible it is. But he's on Reddit and 4chan or whatever the fuck.
You think he's on Reddit and 4chan?
I think that one of his aides is and comes
okay.
in with, like, a packet. And it's like, this is what's going on right now. There's these people called QAnon. They think that you're draining. I mean, imagine a guy with that ego and somebody come to him and says, there is a group of people out there, a big group of people, who believe that you're some kind of superhero and you're fighting this internal deep state organization that's made up of pedophiles, and you single-handedly are fucking them up and dismantling their, you know, gatherings and their devil worshiping, whatever the fucks. He must be like, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sign me up. So he doesn't want to piss those people off in any way.
It's so funny, all the things that need to be done to help the country. And he's just, like, farting around, scouring the internet for people talking shit about him. Like, he has blocked people we know on Twitter.
Sure,
that's
yeah.
That's how deep he's
for, like,
gone.
Drawing a cartoon of him he didn't like.
Yeah. Like, 13 likes on it.
Which he's is like, which was ruled to be illegal. He can't do that.
Yeah.
But he still... Isn't
yeah.
Jason Chatfield still
yeah,
blocked by
yeah.
him?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah, I mean, if you watch that documentary on Netflix, somebody talks about how, like, he... There was somebody... in his on his staff whose whole job was to bring him newspapers and magazines where he's mentioned, like,
oh my God,
put little sticky notes on it, and he would spend, like, I don't know, however many hours the beginning of his day going through and reading every mention of his name.
Jesus Christ. I mean, how does he still have such a, like, a big ego then, cuz everyone talks so much shit about him?
Oh, for every person who talks shit about him, there's somebody who thinks he's a literal god, has believed every single thing he said, and more, believes things that are being written online that put him in a position to, like, you know, destroy all evil in the universe.
Yeah. Here I am in my liberal bubble thinking, but everyone's out here talking shit about
him. See, that's why you got to stay up until 4 a.m. getting high and watching QAnon videos on YouTube.
Every time, I know I've said this before on the podcast, every time someone explains QAnon to me, it goes...
Have I not? I think I've done it on the podcast.
You have, that's what I'm saying. I can't, it won't stick in my brain. I don't understand QAnon is.
Real quick.
Okay.
There is this webpage called 4chan, and on 4, it's like Reddit, but it's different in that everything is anonymous.
They're all Pepes. That's where Pepe was born,
right? This is why you don't retain anything, because you just interrupt and you make fun.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So there was this guy going by the name Q who was like writing about how the deep state in the U.S. government is comprised of all these bad actors, and they are really running things in the world, and it's tied up in pedophilia and, you know, the New World Order and all the conspiracies, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump is this like freedom fighter who got into office to dismantle this group of evil actors.
So QAnon likes Donald Trump.
Yes. They're huge Donald Trump. They think that he's like the second coming, like not literally, but that he's going to solve all the world's problems and break up this deep state government that's in charge of actually like oppressing everybody and, you know,
man, people wanna...
sucking on adrenal glands and shit like that. Yeah. It goes, the thing about QAnon and like all these conspiracy theories, flat earthers and all this shit, it all eventually kind of bleeds together. If you believe one, you're going to believe that.
Yeah, it's a gateway
Kennedy's
drug.
Still alive and he's Q or whatever.
Sure, I'm on board with all that.
The funny thing about all of it, though, is it's like you can post anonymously. So literally, it could be anybody. We could go on to 4chan right now, write a Q post, and have people dissecting it. And
dude, and then it makes it to the fucking news, and now your grandma believes.
Right.
And Facebook. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's so funny when everything gets filtered through to regular news.
It always does.
There's somebody named Pepe who is a 4chan. Yeah, I remember the news for a while was like, a group of hackers going by the name 4chan
are
posting Pepes all around. Pepe is a Nazi frog.
Oh, poor Pepe.
I want to watch that documentary on Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
But I ain't going to rent it or nothing.
Okay. Well, then how are we going to watch it?
I don't know. Send it to me.
So, yeah, if you have a Pepe documentary. Don't we have Plandemic?
Yeah.
Should we watch it? Does it matter anymore?
I told you I tried to watch it. It's boring.
Okay.
But I hear Plandemic 2 is better, which we also have. So I'm going to watch that. Your sister said it makes some good points.
don't throw her under the bus.
Did she?
She's an open-minded individual. No, I thought... Oh, maybe. Shouts out to Maureen.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, so the debates, we watched the debates.
Oh, have we not talked about the debates
yet? No, we haven't done a podcast since then.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, guys. I have nothing to say about the debates. Really. I mean, nothing constructive anyway. I was really excited. I was like, this is going to be a bloodbath.
I know. I think everybody
it's
was.
Gonna
it's
be,
like,
yeah.
This is going to be so fun. Whoever wins, it's going to be so silly. And then you sit down and 3 minutes in, you're like... Oh, no.
It's very, very reflective, I think, of the country where it's we all grab our popcorn and go to watch the shit show unravel. And then you realize like how bleak it really is and not entertaining.
It's just so upsetting that there's this guy who's like the embodiment of chaos. And it's like, all right, it's horrible. And then it pans over and it's like, oh, this is our champion?
Yeah, there's
this is our sleepy, black-eyed, fucking nodding out old man we've pushed forward. You know, like in Game of Thrones, like they like two heroes will fight each other for like
I'll take
freedom
your
of somebody.
Word for it.
Shut up.
I don't like
you
Game
get
of
to
Thrones.
Choose your hero to battle on your behalf. to make a decision. Oh, like say like you get locked up for something.
Okay. Yeah, for being too hot, for having fat cans.
Right.
Okay.
No, in Game of Thrones world, that is encouraged. But okay. Yeah, so you can either go to trial or you can be like, here's my hero. They will fight the kingdom's hero
to
for my freedom.
Death?
Yeah.
You just like pick, wait, who are they fighting? So I go to jail for having fat cans.
Yeah.
Who does my hero fight? Somebody with small cans?
Whatever kingdom you're being.
What?
You made this about cans. I don't know where to go from here. It doesn't matter. You don't even give a shit, do you?
Okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the things that you like. Like Game of Thrones.
Like cans.
cans.
And QAnon.
And QAnon. And Pepe.
Yeah, Pepe. But, no, you know what I mean? Like, you're watching the debates and it's just like, fuck, dude, this is our guy.
Yeah, this is our guy. Well,
whenever Trump gave him an opportunity to explain himself, it was just so depressing. Because, you know, he interrupted the whole time. But, like, every once in a while, Joe Biden would get a word out and he'd be like, you know, I'm pro-fracking and I hate socialism and I don't want anybody to have health insurance.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, I'm just tired.
It was... I think a lot of people have said that, but I think it would have behooved Trump to just let Biden speak because he wouldn't have said anything helpful.
Nothing good.
Yeah.
It's like they're both running to be the Republican president.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who is this for, you know? Because Republicans don't like Joe Biden.
Yeah, because,
so who is he appealing to?
Yeah, nobody. Although, I mean...
I guess centrist, back to normalcy. Normalcy? Normalcy.
Normalcy. Normalcy is definitely a word.
Sure.
For sure.
Definitely.
We just watched the SNL cold open that was spoofing the debates.
Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris comes in and tells these boys what's up.
She's a queen and saves the day. A flawless queen, which you love in comedy.
She's a WAP. A woman as president.
And everyone cheered.
Yeah.
She's like, I think we know what this country needs. A WAP. Woman as president. And
now go get me a martini.
Oh my God.
What a bad bitch.
I love a...
RBG comes in with angel wings and a thong and just starts dabbing.
I was waiting for that to happen. There were tiny moments that actually did make me laugh. I kind of like Jim Carrey as Biden.
Yeah, I mean, they were Jim Carrey. He's great.
They were at the mercy of their writers, which I won't, you know, I don't want to be divisive. I don't want to shit on other comedians. I'll just say it was very fucking bad and not good. No, there, like I said, there were small moments that were kind of funny, but then a lot of really embarrassing, like that Kamala thing was horrific.
I don't know any SNL writers, but I do know like, writers for, not personally, but I know writers for The Daily Show and The Tonight Show with mm-hmm. Fallon. And it's...
And Colbert. I think we do know more.
Well, Colbert, it doesn't apply to Colbert because we know Django who writes for Colbert and he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
which
he's really
is not
going
to apply to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
There have been instances where I've been in an open mic and seen people perform who are so horrible that I have... sought them out afterwards just to watch all their horrible shit to be like, this is entertaining how bad this is.
Yeah.
And you almost like feel sorry for these people or you're just like kind of charmed by the idea that they thought that they had any aptitude.
Yeah.
That they had, that the fact that somebody has no funny bone in their body and this is what they decided to pursue.
Right.
And then... they become writers for The Tonight Show. Literal writers. Like, they have, like, penthouse apartments in New York now because they're getting paid out the ass to write these dog shit jokes. And it's happened, you know, a handful of times. And it's just, honestly, it's hilarious.
I think this is how this podcast came to be. We moved to New York and you still have a belief in sort of justice in the universe that things will sort of right themselves. Like you said, you see somebody who's so bad that you're like, oh, they should just be put down.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll
figure
it out.
I'm going to buy them a drink.
Yeah.
You know what?
And then they become the fucking president of comedy and you just go, well, I think we were prepped for this whole like post-Trump presidency America where you're like, nothing makes sense in the world, idiots.
Why would anything, like that Louis C.K. bit, like why would anything good happen?
Yeah, it just doesn't work
that
way.
Are you stupid? It is very much like, there are some parallels to Trump, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who's the worst person in the world? Like, The Simpsons thinks, who would be the worst person to be president? And then, it's Trump in The Simpsons world, you know? Who's the most fucked up person you can conceive of running the country? And there you go. Who's the most unfunny person at this open mic? There you go. Comedy writing job.
Yeah. It always happens. It's all confidence, I guess. Just be confident.
Well, it's confidence and diversity, honestly.
Is that how Trump became president?
Yeah.
I feel like
he's our first
orange
president.
And these are the jokes that we're getting now because these people are... It's okay to know the people. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people just watch this shit from home. A lot of people hate SNL now. And they're like, how did this happen? And it's like, oh, I'll tell you how it happened.
I do think they are, SNL is at a disadvantage in that, like, just nobody wants to hear about this shit anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Truly.
You're like, I want to wind down. I don't need to see people stick it to Trump or Biden or anybody. It's just like, let me turn on the most mind-numbing thing I can find. It's not going to be more politics.
Yeah. I mean, that was, for the most part, that was 75% so unfunny because you just, like, you can't be funnier than Trump. It's hack at this point.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Alec Baldwin as Trump. I don't know. I don't think I would like anybody as Trump, but just so tired of Trump voice.
Right.
Can't handle it anymore. It's just the opposite of funny. And it's just,
nothing's funny about it. I know, I hate when people say that shit, like there's nothing funny about,
but it's not that, it's not
cancer.
Like, it's offensive, like, it's not that, it's just like, it's, you could try, but it's just gonna feel cringy and
done and hack and like, all right, we get it.
Just let us die already. Put us out of our misery.
Right.
And it's so funny because like everything got like a little bit of a laugh from the audience, but the only things that hit were like, and what, like the moment where he's like, shut up, man, you snot face, fuck it. There's a moment where Joe Biden just like flips out on Trump and calls him a bunch
of like dork insults.
Yeah.
Like, you see people on, it's usually Facebook when people get into arguments, and then you can see that one person really fancies themselves funny.
Yeah.
And they start stringing a bunch of like really descriptive insults together.
Yes.
Like, you slovenly, asinine, dog faced,
douche nozzle.
Yeah, butt monkey, jerk head.
You're like, okay.
It's like, oh, good for you.
That was the only moment of that sketch that people like. It
when
was
Trump said,
applause
when Trump
break.
Said gay, that was very funny.
That was because that felt, first of all, it was like edgy a tiny bit. And also it felt like something he would say. Like Joe Biden was like, we got to bring this country back together. And Trump just goes, gay. I mean, that was like, it really caught me off guard. And
then they ruined it immediately with Kamala coming out and being a girl boss.
It's so like, Kamala is so supremely flawed, and the fact that they have to just parade her out as like the female voice, who's
voice of reason,
boys, she calls them boys, she calls herself Mamala, says get me a martini because I'm gonna make everything right, we need a woman as president, as like, I, this is exactly what I would have written if somebody asked me to mock SNL.
Yeah,
they're just a parody of themselves at some point. You think about, I mean, I don't want to be that guy or gal, but watching old SNL and new SNL, it used to be kind of punk rock to make fun of politicians, and it was edgy and like, oh shit, I can't believe you're doing this. And now it's like dorky, and it's mainstream, lamestream. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, it breaks my heart because like SNL is a fucking institution, a comedy institution. Mm-hmm. It was very important in all of our lives growing up. When I first moved to New York, I mean, you would see those cast members around and they were the kings and queens of this city. I mean, they were so important, you know, like, but it was a much better cast. I went to a few after parties and just like my mind was blown that I had the opportunity to like be in the vicinity of Kristen Wiig,
yeah,
you know, like dancing and shit,
yeah.
Keenan, you know, smoking a cigar or something, and you're like, oh my God, this is incredible. But now like I can't bring myself to watch it, and it just breaks your heart. You're like, this fucking sucks.
I still think they have a lot of really talented performers.
No, they do. They do.
The writing is
and to be fair, I don't fucking watch it, so maybe they're knocking it out of the park with some sketches. But again, it's back to like I know the hiring process now. It's not based on merit, and I gotta say, like, and I know everybody likes him, and I heard he's a great guy, but the whole Pete Davidson, like, like a cast member who it's more about their personal life and reading about them in the tabloids and how cool they are and who they're fucking, that really turns me off. I'm like, I need my clowns, you know? I need my silly Will Ferrell types. I don't give a shit what pop star you're you know.
And
plowing.
He comes on every fourth episode and makes the joke. The whole joke is that, like, why am I here? I don't know. And everyone laughs. And it's like, why
it's like,
are
I'm just
you?
Not charmed by you. I understand. Like, I hear comedians talking about, like, what a sweet guy he is. And I don't watch his special, so maybe he's even funny. But just, like, that, like, cult of personality shit really bugs me for some
especially
reason.
Especially for SNL. I just don't think that works. Anywhere else, that probably works, or most other places, but SNL is like, just feels like a waste of space.
Yeah, and how am I supposed to buy a character who is like, it's like, this guy has bleach blonde hair, earrings, and tattoos.
Yeah,
like, how is he playing? You know,
you're
I don't
not
know.
Exactly a blank slate here.
Right. You're not embodying the character. Everybody he plays has
he has to be just like some punk kid.
Be wearing like leopard pajama pants or whatever he
also
wears.
You really paint yourself into a corner when your whole identity is I'm the young kid, because someday you're not gonna be that.
Yeah, that's another thing that's alienating, you know.
yeah like, you wouldn't get what
I'm
saying.
We're doing crazy shit over here, like, you wouldn't understand, like, Fortnite. It's like, okay.
All right.
That's the other thing too, with this new ageism shit that's going on now, where people are, you know what I resent is the dividing people into generations. It just ruins everybody, because now all of a sudden everybody just talks down to each other. I think everybody would just blend together and be fine if it wasn't like, boomers fucking suck, and then millennials are cunts, and zoomers are cool, or who knows what they're doing. But
I will say, boomers fucking started it, but okay.
This ageism shit, or this dividing each other into groups, it really doesn't work when we're all privy to all the same information, you know?
Yeah.
I can turn on YouTube and watch the same. I can download TikTok.
Yeah.
I know what you guys are doing, you know? It's not like...
My dad's on Instagram.
Right. It's not like... There's no divide.
Right.
You guys aren't doing cool, interesting things over in the corner somewhere, you know? You're not.
Yeah.
You don't have special music that I don't have access to, you know? I have Spotify.
That's
so
true.
When Pete Davidson's like, nobody would get it because I'm young, it's like, whatever, man. You're just some guy from Staten Island.
I think that's something that the writers, I think they show their age by making him do that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they hired him. His whole shtick was that he's like the youngest guy to be on the cast, right? Is that true?
I think so, yeah.
Because I know that like Chris Rock and Sarah Silverman, when she was a writer, she was very young. They were like,
I don't want to hear it.
22 or something like that.
No.
Something crazy. So I don't know. I don't know who the youngest person is. Maybe it's him. Maybe not. But at the time, he was by far the youngest person on the show.
Yeah.
So I guess they really leaned into that. But now he's got to be, what, pushing 30 or something? So
This is all like very objective, like nothing personal, but strictly for SNL, it's like, okay, what's your favorite Pete Davidson character, you know? Like, what's your favorite skag? You can like him as a person, and even his stand-up, I'm just repeating what you said
when he comes on to Weekend Update and talks about himself, it's like, all right, fine. But like, when Drunk Uncle comes on, I'm going to be cracking up, because it's actually it's a something,
right?
he's doing something
it's unique.
Speaking of young people and also the debates, did you see, it was so funny going to like Trump Twitter. I mean, because we saw the debates and it was chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't, I mean, I guess you could sit down and really argue for one side or the other winning. But yeah. the truth is that it was just, we all lost. It was awful.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
And, but you go on to Trump Twitter and it's just so funny. Like, they kicked his fucking ass and like destroyed him and like all these memes and shit. And then you go on to, you know, the neo-lib Twitter, Instagram, and everybody's like, total zaddy vibes when he told Trump to shut up. Oh my God,
you guys gotta go to jail for saying zaddy. It's what like, the fuck is wrong with
shut
you?
Shut the fuck up. Dude, it enrages me because it's a lot of people, a lot of women who are in their 30s and they want to, they don't want anybody to know. And so they start talking like complete fucking assholes, like children, which is
really?
Okay if you're a child and you got some dumb slang, you know, but like the man current mood, it's total zaddy vibes or it's a total mood. We stand fucking Biden for, isn't that the zaddy shit? What does that imply? You want to fuck him? You want to suck Biden's cock? Is that what you want to do? You want to whip? You want him to whip out his non-functioning, wrinkled ass dick and put his balls on your chin? Total zaddy vibes. The fuck out of here. It's disgusting. Yeah. Well, why do you have to fuck everything?
Yeah, stop it. You're pathologically horny and it's ruining your life.
But you're not at all.
Oh,
you're,
yeah,
the thing
yeah.
is like, hey, sexuality, me, I'm, you know, that's the dog whistle.
Oh,
like you say something vaguely sexual and it's like, huh? Like me. Like I'm, like, do you think I'm hot? Do you want me to say zaddy about you?
Yeah, I could say zaddy.
No, I'm just saying like...
No, I know. I was also being that character.
No, you can't say it.
I was being the character.
Fine.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah, it is frustrating. You see
to watch that train wreck. A train wreck inside of a dumpster fire. Dude, fucking Jake Tapper. Is that who said that?
Oh, God.
After they cut to Jake Tapper after the... debate and he's like, that's a literal dumpster fire inside of a train wreck. It's like, are you gonna say zaddy? Are you gonna throw in a zaddy, fucking internet dweeb?
We do not stand that debate.
But yeah, but watching that shit and then going online and when Joe Biden said, would you shut up, man, I got wet.
You got so wet.
Came.
You sprayed it all over my apartment.
Right.
What?
Just these people who think Trump's gonna die and then Biden's gonna lead us to, you know, the promised land and be sexy the whole time he does it. It's just like, what fucking universe do you live in? Everything is bullshit.
His teeth are gonna fall out of his head.
Yeah. I gotta go to work.
Okay.
I guess.
I gotta do lots of stuff around the house too. I got lots to do.
What are you gonna do?
Lots.
Clean up a little?
Lots. Yeah, as usual.
Hey.
I'll clean up.
I go to work and put the... bring home the bacon.
No, you don't.
And
do
you
that.
Clean the house.
I do both those things.
No, I'm going to work right now.
Well, I stay here and I work and I clean the house.
From what I can tell, you just screw around on your computer all day playing Minecraft.
Minecraft?
Yeah.
I don't play. I've never played Minecraft in my life.
You should. It's fun.
Okay, fine. I got to go play Minecraft, guys.
All right. That's it.
Oh, God. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.